It's time for Toronto's Top Line.
Anything booked for like 6:15 this afternoon? You got to dust off around 5:30?
No, but if I did, I would leave. I told you.
Oh, really?
We're done.
No, we're not done.
I don't have any more bookings, but if I did, I would have to leave.
What about the bookings from 4 to 7, Monday through Friday, every single day?
You've got a booking, man.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. As it currently stands, Masai Ujiri is still the president of basketball operations for the Toronto Raptors. But he didn't come out today and say, stop with the rumors. He could have come out and said, listen, I'm not going anywhere. He introduced Bobby Webster as the new GM, and then after the introduction, he ducked out. No questions from the media, no big statements about his status. I understand this was Bobby Webster's day, or it was intended to be, but the second Phil Jackson got fired in New York and Tim Leiwicki's name came up as an advisor to James Dolan and the idea that they're going to pursue Masai Ujiri, it became Masai Ujiri's day.
If I was a younger guy getting an executive job in professional sports, I would change my name from Bobby to Bob.
Really?
I just don't like the Bobby. It sounds like you're a kid.
He looks like a kid.
He's really young. I think he's 32.
That's why you just change it to Bob or Rob.
Robert.
Robert Webster. That has a ring to it.
Bobby Webster sounds like you're...
Or Shapiro.
Where'd Shapiro come into this?
Well, remember it looked like Shapiro, but it's Shapiro.
Right.
Right away, he came out of left. Like, he was like, it's Shapiro. Don't mess around.
Leave me alone.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's Shapiro. Now, because we've said his name so many times, I don't say Shapiro anymore.
I know, but like
Like if I met a Bob Shapiro, I'd be like, your name's Bob Shapiro, right?
Right, because right away, that's what I'm saying. Out of the gate, he was like, it's not Shapiro, it's Shapiro.
He ruined Shapiro for me.
Wasn't there a lawyer, OJ's lawyer was a Shapiro?
Absolutely, he was a Shapiro. He was like the top dog. Johnny Cochran, I guess, maybe was...
Was it a Bob Shapiro? Robert Shapiro.
I think it might have been Robert Shapiro.
It was Bobby Shapiro.
Was it Bobby Shapiro?
No, it was Robert. Robert Shapiro.
But I'm sure at some point in his life he went by Bobby Shapiro.
Absolutely. So you're right. Bobby, it's Robert.
I wish I had a name like that. Like where it's Brian, but somehow you call me Gordy or something like that. Yeah. Like it's like John Dick. Goes to Jack. Yeah, Richard to Dick.
Richard.
How did Richard...
My name's Brian Hayes, but call me Dick. That's a weird statement when you're just like, hey, Brian Hayes, but call me Dick.
How did Richard become Dick?
No kidding.
Like honestly, like how did that happen?
I don't know.
Who created that?
Yeah, like it's not even, it doesn't rhyme or tie in.
There's no rhyme or reason for you to be called Dick if your name's Richard.
There was a guy at my golf course, I think his name was Richard Britton, and he's like, They call me Dickie.
Dickie Britton.
It's like, I'm not... Why would you want Dickie or Dick? I don't want Dick.
No.
As a name.
No. And Mullen is having a hernia behind the glass.
He is like, so he's on the mute button. Because we keep saying that word.
But it's legitimately
you're allowed to
a name.
Say the guy's name if it's Dick.
If the guy's like, you know, there's a lot of them out there. Yes. Dick Wolf is like the most famous TV executive producer in history. No one's messing around with that guy. No one's giggling when they meet Dick Wolf. Imagine a handle, Dick Wolf. The Dick Wolf Show.
That's a porn star. That's what it is.
It could be.
I just can't imagine at a bar scene, like meeting people and just be like, how you doing, Dick? How goes it?
Like I'm not rolling with that
at all.
I hear you, man.
I would go with Richard over that.
I would immediately go by Richard. I don't think I've ever met
a Dick.
Well, I'm sure I have.
My brother's middle name is Richard.
Okay, but he wouldn't be like, what's his first name?
He goes by David.
So he's not. Hey, if you met someone and if you went to the airport and they said, "What's your full name?" you wouldn't say David Dick McLennan.
No, it's David Richard McLennan.
Okay.
I don't even know how, like I say,
do
I don't
any of
know.
His buddies call him Dick?
No. No.
All right, moving on here. Race coming up here in just a moment. Jerry.
What I guess Dick Todd.
Gary to Jerry.
That's right.
Right?
Dick Todd was a famous...
Very famous.
...hockey coach for the Peterborough Petes.
Yeah.
There you go.
Was it Richard Todd?
I'm assuming that's his birth name, but hey, a nickname or a short form is a short form. It's all good.
Charles to Chuck.
There's another one.
Got to figure out where there's...
Lots of options out there. Charles to Chuck is a good one. Because that doesn't really... Where does Chuck come from when it comes to Charles?
No kidding.
All right, joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst.
Ray, do you know any old school guys named Dick?
He hung up.
I think he hung up.
He heard this conversation,
Ray?
And just flushed us.
I think he actually just hung up. So that's a good start.
Well, I don't think that question was that offensive.
Maybe he thought he was on a different show. William to Bill?
Yeah.
William to Bill? That's another
Billy
one.
Billy Nye, the wrist shot guy?
My dad goes by Bill.
But is it William Hayes?
He goes by, his name's William Hayes, but he goes by Bill.
Bill.
Yeah.
Ray, are you there?
Yeah, I accidentally hit the mute on my phone. I was actually answering the question because I played for the Rangers when Dick Todd was one of our assistant coaches.
And yes.
Why is a guy's name Dick, Ray?
Hey, hang on. You guys are so mature. I had this conversation yesterday with Riley, my son, who's 10.
Exactly.
Because he had a guy... he had hurt his foot playing soccer, and so the guy was helping, giving him a treatment. And the guy's name is Richard. And so I said to him, I go, Riley, some people might call him Dick. Well, he's 10 years old. I mean, he's on the ground rolling. It's the funniest thing that he's heard in a week. And you morons are talking about the same thing.
We're just trying to figure out, though, how, just someone decided... Oh, you're Richard? Actually, I'm going to cut it down to Dick. it doesn't make sense.
Especially whenever they cut it down. I wonder if, if you're calling somebody Dick, that's his name, or you throw an in there. Hey, buddy, you're a Dick.
Yes.
That's not the same thing.
No, it's not.
And so I wonder when they were figuring this all out back in the day, if that was something that just slipped by somebody, and all of a sudden, or maybe the guy was a jackass, and then
he was a dick.
Already called him, and they had already his name was already Dick, and so they're like, okay, this is all coming together now.
Well,
maybe that's how the language started.
I think maybe that's exactly what happened, to be honest, and it wouldn't shock me if that's a direct quote from the Wikipedia page in terms of the history of the name.
Well, we'll have to figure it out.
We'll look into it. We'll dig a little bit deeper. Obviously, people buzzing about this Connor McDavid contract report. 8 years, $13.25 million per season. I mean, this kid, he's shooting high. This is a new bar. Like, Taves and Kane are at 10-5, and they've been alone atop that mountain for 2 years. McDavid's jumping that by like $3 million. What do you make of this?
I can't even stop giggling about the amount that it is. How do you even get your head around that it's $13 million, that it's $2.5 million more than Kane and Taves, that the Oilers are like, well, what are we going to do? No, we're going to give you a bridge contract. They don't have a choice. And so if that's the piece of paper they slid across the table, well, then that's where they have to go. I don't know. How do you build the rest of your team around that? Say they go to Draisaitl next and say, okay, we'll give you $7 million, which is a crazy amount of money. Draisaitl's going to say, you're going to pay me $6 million less than McDavid per year? That's $50 million on the contract left. I can't do that.
This has a ripple effect all the way through the league, doesn't it?
Draisaitl almost has a right to say, okay, he's 13, I'm 10.
How do they do it? How would you possibly do that? And then somebody asked me, well, what if a team went and, put one of those offer sheets on the Oilers knowing that they can't match it? Well, then if I'm Peter Chiarelli, I go, if somebody offers him $10 million, like you say, in an offer sheet, which never seems to happen, and I don't get why it doesn't, Why wouldn't they just say, look, I'm going to take three of the four first rounders and a prospect, and then I'm going to trade those first rounders and the prospect to a team and acquire, for example, Matt Duchene. And then how much worse am I?
It's an interesting connecting of the dots. And
yeah.
And you're right. I mean, something about the NHL and the gentleman's code, when it comes to offer sheeting, it just doesn't happen. But I know Edmonton will be in a bind here if this ends up happening, 13.25. But if I'm like a team, if I'm Carolina, right, all day I'm offer sheeting Draisaitl.
No kidding.
All day. There's my number one center for the next 10 years. Yep. That's exactly what they need.
Here's 10 sheets.
They love their defense.
Yeah.
And they're not in the conference, so if Edmonton matches, okay, go ahead. We'll move on. Yeah. Not our problem anymore. I mean, this just screams offer sheet.
What about Vancouver?
Yeah, but they're going south, though, aren't they? I mean, how much does that improve them to the point where they don't concern themselves about those picks going the other way?
But they're rebuilding, and you have a 20-year-old at center. That's not bad.
You've got a 20-year-old. You've got Bo Horvat. So now the middle of your ice is set.
Yeah.
You've still got your own first round pick. Well, no, I guess you lose one of your first. So now your first pick every year is in the second round for the next 4 years. I would make that trade. I'd like that trade off to me.
Well,
I just. Why not? Like, man, I think he's a hell of a player. I think he is a number one center. I don't think you're guessing about that.
I don't disagree with you. I think Peter Chiarelli knows it. I think Leon Draisaitl knows it, that you're looking at a situation here where if McDavid gets 13.25 and Draisaitl was top 10 in points this past year, he had a brilliant playoff. He was better than McDavid in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You got to be thinking he's saying, okay, I'll take a $2 or $3 million a year less, but not much.
What if you're Montreal and you walk on Radulov and you could have Draisaitl and Drouin?
See, this gentleman stuff, guys, I don't get it. We always hear, oh, it's a vicious business.
It's part of the rules.
Yeah, who's writing these rules? Oh, you mean like to go ahead and offer sheet somebody?
Yeah, you're allowed to do it. Do it.
It's not a dick move.
It's not.
It's not a Richard move.
Now, Richard should make this move, whoever Richard is in that chair. You're not, like, so someone comes back and offer sheets you. Well, then you're stuck with a decision, and you let the next guy go, or you sign him. But, man, with a player like Draisaitl, I would find that incredibly hard to stay to the code.
I'm with you, man. And I think this contract, as I said earlier, it's not on McDavid to concern himself with building a championship caliber team. It's his priority to work as hard as he can, be the best player he possibly can. And if you're going to get paid the most, you better be the best. But I think he's already proven that he's willing to bet on himself, and he should. I don't think this is on him to spread the wealth, but I think there will be pressure put on him to accept less, clearly. You know Peter Chiarelli's pitch will be, okay, we can pay you, but I can't guarantee you rings. If you take less, I can guarantee you rings, or I can give you a much better chance of winning rings. But I don't think McDavid is the bad guy in all of this. I think whoever decided to have a salary cap is the bad guy, first and foremost.
I told you last week, not everybody's going to say, oh, I want to take a hometown discount so we can try to do this or that and give me 8 points. Some guys, it's driven by the agents, and they say, look, you're the best player in the world. Start being paid like it. I'm enough of this garbage. And that's exactly what happened here.
The hometown discount's a crock of crap, in my opinion, because how many guys have taken that discount and then 3 years down the road been asked to be, you know, hey, we want to move you.
Yeah.
Or now they've got the, you know, guys negotiate a no trade and now teams are coming back to them asking them to waive the no trade. But that's a negotiated point.
Right.
The hometown discount's garbage, because say McDavid says, okay, I'm only going to take the same as Kane and Taves, 10.5. So he's now leaving 2.7, apparently, on the table for 8 years, which is $20 million. Then on top of that, take off his 10% escrow minimum. And so that's at $10 million. That's another million per year. Now he's leaving $28 million on the table. What is he, a charity? Not his business, man. No. I mean, I don't. And who's to say, okay, we're either going to save $2.7 million. Who's to say it gets spent on the right players, that it's actually going to make them better? There's no evidence that taking less money means that the teams that get a great player to take less money use it on the right players when they spend that money.
If I was a high-end player now, Ray, I wouldn't even be involved in the negotiations. I would say to my agent, if I had some pull like a Draisaitl, I would say, get me the most money possible. Don't even come to me say, oh, they came with... You just say, no, like, just let them do it and stay out of it.
What if they approach Draisaitl with 5 years instead of 8?
Yeah, they're going to have to be creative, Ray. And I personally...
5 years wouldn't offend me. I mean, God, like, for Christ's sakes.
But
5 years at that kind of money, you're not... Your grandkids can't spend that money.
And he's be banking on getting more money
in
5 years.
No, but I mean, like, so what if they say to Draisaitl, 5 years, $8 million, $40 million, and then in 5 years when you're 25, we're gonna take a big swing for you. Like, do you trust that, or do you...
What's 5 years, $8 million?
But is that a drag bunt? It depends on what he values himself at 25, potential unrestricted free agent. Like, he would be betting on himself. We all thought that McDavid was going to take a shorter term because, kind of like Crosby, like, they wanted to get a home run in that, I guess, what it was, third contract. And McDavid's getting a home run in his second contract. I personally believe that they'll be able to fit Draisaitl and McDavid and still have a very good team. The spicy meatball is Talbot, because Talbot's a star.
And he's up in 2 years.
He's up in a year and year and a half. Like, if that guy continues to be an elite goaltender who's a Vezina finalist and takes his team to a cup final, we're talking Lundqvist money, $7-8 million a year,
and
nine.
And you're so right. I mean, there's a ripple effect with the Oilers, but there's such a ripple effect now league wide because players, they're all confident. But they also, I think, are more often than not reasonable and logical. I think most players would understand McDavid should set the bar. He's the Hart winner. He's the Ted Lindsay winner. He is the superstar of superstars right now. But as we've talked about throughout the past couple of years, Matthews may not be the same player, but he represents the same thing to the Leafs. And Jack Eichel, not the same player. He represents pretty close to the same thing in Buffalo. So if I'm these players and I'm sitting there saying, okay.
Jack Eichel, bro. I'm saying 10. 10's the bottom.
Basically. I would say a minimum. I mean, honestly, if Ray, you correct me if I'm wrong here, but let's say Matthews scores 40 again, ends up with 80 points. How does he get paid a penny less than $12 million a year next year?
I don't know.
He doesn't.
I mean, he doesn't. Like, why would he... Why would he all of a sudden be, I'm going to help out the team? That's where the salary cap is, you know, let's clump the league together. Let's mean that the smaller market teams can win, except I don't really know that happens. But anyway, that's the way the system is. And so guys are forcing teams into decisions that are impossible to make. The middle class is getting obliterated out of the league. If you think you're going to make $4 million, you don't have a chance. That class of player is getting hit on the head with a hammer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the problem with that, though, is, and I don't disagree, that's exactly what's happening, but now there's 31 teams. So if there's no middle class, and let's say the top three or four guys get paid, that means you're looking at 120 players, give or take, that get paid big money.
Out of 740?
There aren't 120 players that are worthy of big money. So what's going to end up happening is you're going to look at a team like Arizona or Vegas or Carolina, and eventually they're going to say, you know what, we got to get a guy, and we got to pay him, so let's just pay this guy who we don't think is really worth $10 million, but we got to pay him $10 million because
he's our face of our franchise,
he's a star. And that I think could end up applying league wide as well. And then you got guys who are going to get paid a fortune that probably aren't worth a fortune. So it can go both ways.
You're right. There's going to be guys that will hit, and then there's going to be guys that get absolutely slammed. because they're gonna be really good players. They're gonna have a good year. The cap's gonna be flat, and there's gonna be nowhere to go for the price point they think they're gonna get. I don't think there's any question that's gonna happen more frequently than less frequently.
Well, McDavid reportedly again getting $8 million or 8 years, $13.25 million. That's 17.6% of the cap. Now, an individual player can get 20% of the cap. So
right.
I guess technically his counter may be, hey, I could have asked for more. And until it's actually done, it's not actually done. But it sure sounds like it's leading that way. And, you know, it makes you wonder how these numbers, again, are going to affect the way a lot of teams do business on Saturday, on July 1st. You know, you look at Patrick Marleau's name is out there, and I think most people expect him to return to San Jose, but he's going to have a lot of suitors.
Sure.
You know, and some reports out there that maybe Toronto's kicking tires. If you're Marleau, I mean, again, obviously you're not McDavid. Obviously you're not an upper echelon guy anymore, but you're also coming off a season at 27 goals. I mean,
at 36.
At 36, 37, you're a UFA. How much money would that guy get? If the Leafs signed him, what would they have to pay for a guy like Patrick Marleau?
Five men.
Three years, $18 million.
Yeah, six. That's what I was thinking.
Ooh.
I don't like that.
No, I know. That's the thing. Is so because he has 27 goals, he never misses any games, he's still a really good player, but we talked about it yesterday. Some years, a guy wakes up and all of a sudden he can't play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Over the summer. And it's going to happen to all of them. And, I mean, Joe Thornton and Patrick Marleau and Andre Markov, for three examples, are really good older players. And as soon as you sign them, you can never buy them out because they're over 35. They count on the cap, full boat. I mean, that's... But if you're Montreal, you talked about Radulov earlier. If you don't want to go 6 years, which I think you're crazy if you do, why wouldn't you think about Marleau? I would.
Yeah.
Even at 3 years, 18, I'd go, well, that's half of the madness of Radulov. And I think Radulov had an amazing year last year.
Mm-hmm.
But 6 years? No, thank you.
I agree. I think that's what... It's interesting, and Hayes just said it. The ripple effect of this contract... Because even if you're a good player, you're like, is McDavid $10 million more than me?
Well, exactly.
If I'm a $3 million player.
Right.
If you're Draisaitl and you're looking at seven, is he six and a bit more than me?
Look at JVR. Okay, because JVR, he's going to come up next year.
Yeah.
he's a 25 to 30 goal scorer year in, year out. He's getting paid 4.25. Let's say this upcoming season in his final year, he scores 30 again.
Yeah.
Ends up with 60 points.
What's $9 million a year?
Like, what's stopping him from asking for that? Now, it doesn't mean he'll get it, but how, if you're a GM, again, do you explain that there's a guy in the league that will make $8 million more than you a year, and you're a 30-goal scorer?
Yeah.
Like, it's going to change, I think, the way GMs have to sell everyone. And the fact is, it doesn't change the amount of money that's actually available. The cap is what it is.
And that's, don't you think, Brian, that's... Whatever the arguments are, whatever the plays are, the facts are the facts. It's a math equation in a lot of cases.
Well, and we said this earlier, man. Like, the Leafs, if Matthews keeps growing and Nylander and Marner, they have to work out an equation where they can keep them happy, and still build. Because, you know, we were talking about how with a situation like this, a lot of people will compare it to the Chicago situation and the L.A. situation. Difference is, those teams have their rings already. They've already won.
Right.
Like, Edmonton hasn't won anything, and they might have to throw people overboard. The Leafs haven't won anything. They might have to throw people overboard.
Isn't that crazy?
Like, how crazy is that?
Well, I guess it all speaks to how good these kids are much earlier than players used to be, and they're forcing teams into places they never thought they had to be.
Well, just also...
No,
go ahead.
Doesn't it make you wonder if this is a CBA battle? You can't get paid a certain amount until you're 6 years into the league.
You know what's funny about that? Every CBA, the veterans always bail on the younger guys. It always happens.
Yeah.
Now the younger guys are the best players. And there's going to be an internal players association battle about that. If that's even brought to the table, they will be fighting in-house before they get to their fight with the owners before they're or during the lockout, which seems like it's, you know, coming right down Main Street.
All the guys that are in their late 20s are going to be saying, we can't get a job.
Yeah.
Or we can't get paid what we're actually worth because the 21-year-old's getting paid.
Yeah. For what we what the organization thinks he's going to be worth.
Right. That's you're right, man. It may be more of an internal battle than even Bettman and the owners. Because the owners might be saying, hey, listen, we're paying what we're paying. Like, one guy, 13 guys, 20 guys. But it might be a fight within the PA.
Were you at the PA meeting, or Ray, where Ty Domi stood up and went nuts?
I saw Ty Domi stand up, and he's like, look, I got a couple years left. I want to play hockey. And they were like, sit down and shut up. Then Shane Doan stood up with Jerome Iginla, and they were like, maybe the owner is like, we can still kind of make a good living. And Darian Hatcher and Chris Chelios stood up and said, sit down and shut up. I was like, no, we're not playing hockey.
I just sat there. I was like, it was such a gong show.
Yeah. They were young kids, Jerome and Shane Doan. They were like, guys, like maybe if we just kind of listen, we could make a good living and still kind of play hockey. No, sit down, shut up. Let's miss a whole year, lose a billion. That's really smart.
We showed them.
Yeah, exactly. We showed them all.
Remember
right.
The makes Andrew, me barf. Remember Andrew Ferentz is like, listen, if we're going to get a cap, let's maximize it.
Just took a massive sky dump and people with $3.5 million and just wiped.
Eric tweeting in, this. I think this is a great idea. You see this in other leagues. I don't think Bettman will have the stomach for it because the NHL just doesn't work this way, but maybe they got to think about like a franchise tag.
Franchise or luxury tax. Or
one guy can get paid through the roof or whatever, but only a certain amount works against your cap. Or
that'd be cool.
Right.
You know, there's got to be some fluctuation. Like that. The hard cap, I guess they would suggest it's worked for them, and I'm sure in many ways it has, but I'm not sure it's worked for the greater of the game. It just, there's no flexibility.
Well, as soon as they come up with something that's for the greater of the game, it'll be the first time.
Right.
Because it's always about the bottom line every time.
Yep.
Yeah, you're probably right.
The franchise tag would be awesome. It counts $8 million against your cap, and whatever you want to pay just comes out of the owner's pocket. That would allow the big market teams to use their might, but for just one guy. Like, what's wrong with that? If they want to pay another $10 million to McDavid and he gets $18 million and eight comes off the cap, well, then that's fine. But, it, you know, the cap's the cap. I don't have a problem with that.
No.
I think it would be kind of cool, actually.
It makes a lot of sense, but you're right. It makes too much sense, so it won't actually happen. All right, buddy. Good stuff as always.
By the way, one more name for Richard.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the best of all time, I think. Dick Pound.
Yes, that's the hero that's always like investigating the drugging.
Dick Pound from the IOC.
You can't beat that name.
No.
Hi, I'm Dick Pound. Really, you are.
Yes, you are.
Shouldn't you be going by Richard Pound?
Yes.
No, I'm Dick Pound.
All right, buddy. We'll do this again
tomorrow.
Ray Ferraro, our hockey analyst, joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Red Tag Days are on now with 0% finance.
You're awful today.
I'm struggling,
dude,
man.
You're the one that mailed. I am so jacked up for today. You are junk.
I'm trying to keep it on the rails here. With 0% financing and lease rates on the Toyota Corolla and RAV4, visit mapletoyota.ca. Jerry will be making his final appearance until September. That's my understanding, anyway. I believe he's got a statement out of the gate. See what happens.
Maybe his last ever.
Jerry's percentages next. Jay's back in action tonight after a disappointing loss again last night. They're 2-8 this year against Baltimore. And Baltimore, it's been a tire fire coming into this series.
I always commit to baseball games, but the final play was over, and I'm like, man, another 3+ hours committed to that, and there just was nothing going on.
Just awful. Like, the bats ice cold. The Orioles pitching, again, coming in had been just
dreadful.
Dreadful. Like gas cans across the board, and nothing. And Tulo with his typical meaningless home run in the ninth. It just, they're four games under 500. There's no reason to feel they're just going to pick this up and start taking off.
It's a struggle. Like I still feel like they're just going to limp along and then make it.
And you think they'll take off in August and September?
I don't even know if take off is the word, but they're just, they're hanging around, right?
They are.
And all of a sudden they'll make it, and they'll have some health, and guys will go on fire. Like Strosho gets on fire, or, you know, Sanchez gets back. Like, just all, it could be one of those years where the regular season stinks and they somehow make it in.
That's all that would really matter.
That's kind of what I'm...
I think you're banking on that. I think the only thing you can bank on is second wild card spot. Like, I don't see them catching Boston now. Boston's starting to hum along, and they're 6.5 back of Boston. But could they become a wild card team, maybe second wild card? And to your point, Sanchez gets back, a couple other guys recover, maybe Devin Travis.
Get some health and some inconsistent play. All of a sudden, Pilar looks like an all-star. You know, guys like that.
All right, man. You're being optimistic. I like
called it before the season where I had a weird feeling, but I also have a weird feeling that they make it and they could
do some damage.
Get some
once
damage
they get there.
Going. Yeah, like kind of like the Nashville Cinderella team, even though, like, Nashville, I think, underachieved and they squeaked in kind of at 16th, really, and did some damage in the playoffs.
Perfect example.
I feel like the Jays can do that.
All right, I'll hold you to that. We'll get back into the Masai Ujiri news, what's going on in New York with the Knicks, but let's catch up with Jerry.
Yeah.
You're going to want to hear this.
Jerry's percentages.
No, keep the booing.
Are we having fun yet?
You're all pigeons. Filthy, filthy pigeons.
Are you kidding? Have you been out drinking?
It's Jerry. G-E-R-R-Y.
All right, so here we go. Jerry, I believe, has a statement out of the gate. That's my understanding. Your secretary pointed that out to me. So we all know the way this works. Jerry shows up, bunch of hot takes. We place a percentage on the likelihood of them actually happening. Let's hear from Jerry's statement off the top.
I've got an announcement to make, and you're going to want to hear this.
But you pigeons have to wait until after these scorching hot takes to hear it.
Ooh, a little tease there from Jerry. Okay, I guess we can wait until...
He'll be coming with some heat, possibly, after the percentages.
All right, let's hear his first hot take.
Austin Matthews will eventually sign a long-term deal with the Maple Leafs that will average more than $13 million per season.
Buckle up, Lou. You don't like paying young guys, but you're going to pay this son of a bitch.
Okay, that was an unnecessary comment at the back end there by Jerry. So eventually a $13 million a year deal.
They're going to pay him, but the
6%. I'm low on that. It's a lot of money, and
I'm going to say 25%, because if he's nominated for the MVP next year, he can just say, look, my comparable is the guy in Edmonton, pay up.
I'm higher than both of you guys. I'm going to say 50%.
Really?
50%, because he waits a year. The cap may go up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about him being as good of a player. It's about him having the same meaning to his team.
I agree.
And Matthews means to the Maple Leafs what McDavid means to Edmonton. Mm-hmm. They really do represent the same thing. And in Toronto, Edmonton's been desperate for a long time. Toronto's even more desperate.
Mm-hmm.
I think Matthews may have the same leverage, if not a little bit more, just based on recent history. Gretzky was kicking around 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Davey Keon was playing 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
The Leafs haven't had a top three or five player in the league in my lifetime. Outside of maybe Dougie for a couple of years. Dougie was in there. He was a brilliant player. But in terms of reputation league-wide and understanding, Matthews represents something to the Leafs that they just haven't had in a long time. I'm at 50%.
Two words for me. Lou Lamoriello.
He's going to have to be a magician, though. A magician.
He makes people disappear.
I know, but this is a different story.
This is a different animal,
this
man.
This is the...
I'm telling you...
The king we're talking about.
Okay, so Marty Brodeur, Hall of Famer, Scott Stevens, Hall of Famer. Those guys fell in the line under Lou Lamoriello. I just believe, and this isn't a slight on Austin Matthews. It's more a pumping up of what Lou Lamoriello was capable of.
Masai Ujiri will sewer the Raptors and take the job with the Knicks.
Nice drag bunt, Masai. Started at the salad bar, ended up at the soup station. Yucky.
Jerry. So
Jerry Sam Masai's going to drag bunt the Raps and take the gig in New York.
30%. It all depends on if it was his dream job to run the Knicks, be that guy, much like Brian Burke said when he came to the Leafs. And if he wants it and they're going to pay, why wouldn't he go?
I think I'm right around that number. I think there's a better chance he stays. I think he should be committed to MLSC. I think he likely will be committed. He's getting paid a fortune already. He's got full autonomy over a better team. He right. doesn't have to deal with James Dolan. But the Knicks are like the Leafs. If you get the Knicks to the promised land, they name schools after you. They name streets after you. New York is New York. As much as he makes here, they can pay more.
Right.
I'm going to shackle myself to the O-Dog's number. I'm at 30% as well.
Can you even
I'm
do that?
Say,
all right, 31%.
It's even greasier.
51.
You think there's a chance he's walking out the door for good?
Cash is king. And the only thing that could change that is the compensation. You guys were throwing around two first-rounders, and if they're unprotected, like, that really messes an organization up really bad. But, I mean, the New York Knicks, and whatever he's making, like, just double it. Come on down and like, that's the way I feel Jim
right.
Dolan
it's like the
business.
Leafs. Like, the Leafs can pay more than
exactly.
anybody or real
like
close to it.
Like, it's a Babcock situation. Like, yeah, you know what? Like, here.
The thing is, the MLSE can't, too. Bell and Rogers are worth more than Dolan. Like, combined, these yeah. two companies are worth billions of dollars. So,
but you I know, don't think they run their teams like that.
They don't generally run yeah. that same operation.
With Connor McDavid reportedly signing for over $13 million per season, the Oilers will sign Leon Draisaitl for at least $9 million per season.
Start packing your shit, Nugent Hopkins. Get out.
Nugent Hopkins. He could be in trouble. So, Draisaitl at nine per, according to Jerry.
You know what's interesting?
80% for me.
I think he can get a touch under nine. Like, I don't think it has to have a nine in it. And somebody wrote in and used Shifley as an example, where that's a cost-effective contract, and maybe you can look at Shifley being closer to Draisaitl than Draisaitl to McDavid. So maybe that's a you're looking at comparables through the league.
That's a sales pitch, but will it work?
But what if it's 8.5?
Yeah, then
that's my point.
Then
so
go
I'm going,
low on it.
I'm going low. I'm going to go 12%.
12%, you're at 80%? I'm probably on the lower end here, too. I think Chiarelli might have to actually put the stake in the ground and say, I can't.
Yeah, he's just...
Like, as much as I love you and I want to prove to you I love you as a player, I can't. Like, I gave it to McDavid because he's the captain and, quite frankly, he's better than you.
We could be wrong, though, because Carolina throws $11 million or something. You know, somebody
and then
throws,
maybe they match.
Or the Habs, and they have to match it, and that's...
And
we're all wrong.
I think they probably would, but I'll go 20%. 20%. There's a chance he gets it, for
absolutely.
Sure. He's got a great sales pitch. Draisaitl's a great player, but... There's only so much money that can really go around.
Famous beer thrower Ken Pagan will disguise himself and sneak into a Jays game at some point this season.
Jerry's on the free pegs bandwagon. You were an idiot. You threw a beer, but you don't deserve this.
I mean, this was steep for Ken Pagan.
This was steep.
It's aggressive, man. Let the guy.
200 hours.
12? What if he goes to Houston for a family trip and he just wheels into a ball game? Nobody's going to know.
12 months probation, 200 hours community service, banned from MLB games for a year, lost his job,
yeah.
publicly shamed.
Friend of the show.
I mean, yeah. Do I think he's going to actually find a disguise and sneak into the Rogers Center? No, 0%.
He's not Bobby Valentine?
I don't see that happening.
I think 15% he gives it a shot.
No way.
They get back into the wild card?
I just think that he could go in there and nobody would... If he had a ball cap on and some shades, nobody knows who
I'm
he is
I'm telling
anyway.
You right now, there would be some hero on Twitter that
no
snap
way.
A photo of him
no
and
way.
Hashtag, and he'd be in trouble. I think he learned his lesson. But I feel 200 hours like of community service?
Dude, he lost his job. Again, he was publicly shamed. That's enough punishment for me. Banning him from Major League Baseball, I get. If the Rogers Center said, I'm never letting you in again,
yeah.
I understand it. He threw the beer. You've got to own that.
Yeah,
you shouldn't
right.
have done it.
You're 0%.
I'm
0%. 15.
I'm zero. There's no way he's going to mess with himself.
Although, wouldn't we love to see
we
it?
We would love to see it, but we don't want to encourage
it. No, don't encourage it, but Ken, if you do it, let us know beforehand.
Oh, yeah, so that he can get caught.
And then I guess we're kind of...
We're narking him out.
Yeah, implicated in the whole thing. All right, don't do that.
The Overdrive crew will put on a collective 25 pounds over the summer.
Could be one guy putting it all on. Could be all three packing on the LBs. I bet you that son of a b- Joe Dog will put on 30.
So he's
25
saying
25 lbs this summer?
Collectively. We all show up the day after Labor Day, collectively 25 over.
95%.
I think 0%. I think we're all going to get serious this summer because we're doing the 10K again, and we're going to start early this year.
If I lose weight, does that count?
Yeah, I guess so, because it's looking at a like a collective number. I'd say, what are we at right now, around 650?
We're not going to get into details.
How much do you weigh, Noodles?
I'm 206, and I should be 200. I've put on 6 pounds since I've had my back surgery.
I think we need the number to be out there so we know
that
what we're talking about.
That is something that can be discussed between breaks.
Okay. What do you think we're at? Just say, what do you think we're at? Like, collectively, if you're at 206.
206, you're what,
I'm about 200.
So you're 200?
202 this morning.
Okay, so that's 408.
That's 408.
So then we're going to a 6.
You think we're over 660?
No, 640. We're 640.
If you say that one more time, I will punch your face right into that
640,
desk.
Because that's like you...
You just said north of 660.
If you're 230, then...
But as a team, we're talking collectively here. We're all in this together.
Do we have one more, Jerry's?
No, we're done here. That's it. But we have his final statement. Yes. I'm at 0%. We're not putting
we're
on
not
25.
Doing
we're all going to eat
0%.
Clean and work out. And I say we collectively lose 25.
Yes.
I'm going to be down to 196, so I'll be down 10 pounds.
Good man. All right. Should we hear Jerry out? He's apparently got some big statement.
Now, as far as my big announcement... This will be my final Jerry's, maybe ever.
Jerry's out. You're all pigeons. Filthy, filthy pigeons.
Wow.
Final Jerry's.
I don't know.
Is that not a season finale?
It's
Jerry
a season
with
finale,
a, just
Jerry
a,
with the mic drop.
A cliffhanger. Could be the final Jerry's.
We're going to have to do some polls as soon as we come back to see if we should bring Jerry back.
I think we need to bring him back, and we need to have, like, a big sponsor. Like, some sort of, like...
How about a Portuguese chicken?
Exactly. That's where I was headed.
I think so.
Are we having food coming in on Friday?
We're working on it.
It's in the process.
The wheels are in motion. It's like the MyPillows. They'll come in early August. All right, Bruce Arthur's going to join us. We'll get back into the Masai stuff. We'll get back into the Jays and their game tonight. And Dregs in studio on the McDavid contract and the ripple effect that will have throughout the league, including here in Toronto. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app.
Well, we're going to come back with some information regarding one of the Jerry's percentages, because one of the people featured in the Jerry's percentage... He weighed in on the situation.
Yeah, we're going right to the source on this. Forget Jerry.
Jerry could be done forever.
He might be. So we'll get you an update on that. Bruce Arthur will join us on the Masai story. We'll get back into the Jays and Dregs in studio. Final hour up next. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app.